Welcome to the Hope United Podcast, where we're creating a culture of worship, family, and discipleship. We hope this message challenges, inspires, and gives you hope today. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. This weekend, we celebrated July the 4th. We are celebrating 250 years as an independent nation. And we just want to stop and honor all the men and women who gave their lives to win our freedom, and the men and women that gave of their time and risked their life to serve their country with dignity. It is a we are a greater nation because of them, and we wouldn't have a nation if it wasn't for brave men and brave women. So we honor them that this weekend, and I think sometimes we can throw the baby out with the bathwater when we think of the areas that we need to fix in our nation, and we can start getting negative about things. But we have to remember there's a lot of good things, a lot of things that God has done that we should be celebrating. And so we press towards some of the good original ideals of America, like life, liberty, happiness, justice, balance, and honoring God. So today we celebrate all the good, and we pray for the areas we still need to grow in. And we need to change as a nation. Amen? Let's pray today for our nation, and let's pray for the message today. God, we pray that you would bless our nation. God, we thank you, Lord, even though there has, over time, become fractures and disunity and things that we argue about. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would bring unity and bring love, God, and bring hearts that turn to you, God. And Lord, that you would heal our land as we turn to you, God. And I thank you, Lord, as we pray today and as we seek your face, Lord, give us a word that will cause us to be faithful and fruitful in the life that you've given us. Give us a word today that would cause us to be successful in the life that you've given us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. We absolutely love to worship here at Hope. And honestly, there's people in churches all over the world that love to worship. It doesn't always look the same, but there's many people and many houses of worship today in church. And some of them, it's very passionate, shouting and dancing and lifting hands. And some, it's very quiet and reserved. And many more are somewhere in the middle. And we can often misunderstand worship when it doesn't match our own background or cultural expression. So for the next few weeks, I'd like to go back to the source material of the Bible and talk about the why behind the worship. The why behind the worship. Is it okay if we talk about the why behind the worship? In Isaiah 6, the prophet Isaiah gives us a vision of heaven and a glimpse of what's going on there. And I want to read it for you. Isaiah 6, 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. Two wings they covered their face, with two wings they covered their feet, with two wings they were flying, and they were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. So Isaiah has this vision, and it's beyond anything that we could picture. There's smoke, there's shaking, there's sound, and there's the pure awesomeness of God. And somewhere in there, there's these amazing creatures called the seraphim, and they exist for one express responsibility: to worship God. So the center of heaven is maintained in a constant state of worship. From that throne room reverberates worship through the entire kingdom of heaven. And this is a glimpse, it's a snapshot, a little peek into what heaven is like. John also gives us a glimpse of heaven in Revelation 4:8. He says, each of those living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered all over with eyes inside and out, day after day, night after night. They kept on saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come. Whenever the living beings gave glory and honor and thanks to the one that was still on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, O Lord our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and they exist because you created what you pleased. So heaven is worshiping. Even right now, heaven is worshiping. Heaven is in a constant state, forever worshiping. And worship is a key element that happens throughout heaven. It's big, it's powerful, it's beautiful, it's breathtaking. So the question that I think we need to be asking ourselves as Christians, if I'm spending my life in pursuit of getting to heaven, why not practice what they do in heaven right now? If my heart posture and my desire is to be with God forever, why not start that practice now? If one of the largest components of being in heaven is worship, and I have access to worship right now, why isn't that more of a focus of mine? If heaven is full of worship, practicing worship right now, we're practicing for eternity. Practice now what you will do later. There's an old expression that says, practice makes perfect. What about thinking like this? Practice makes me more perfect. When I practice worship, my practice of worship perfects my faith journey in Christ. When I practice worship, it perfects me. I want to practice the things that will make me succeed, both in this life and the life to come. Right. And one of those things I need to be practicing in my life is worship. What they're doing in heaven is worship. What I'm going to do when I go to heaven is worship. A glimpse into heaven shows me how important, how big, how large of a concept worship is and should be. The singing, the clapping, the dancing, the bowing the heads. Do you know what that really is? It's about giving honor to God. Right. Worship is about honor. He created the world. He created us. He's worthy of the praise. He woke us up this morning. He gave us health. He's worthy of the praise. He sent us Jesus, who died on the cross to redeem us from sin and death. He's worthy of the praise. We honor a lot of things in this lifetime. Right? We honor people, we honor causes, we honor holidays, but above all, we should honor God. Correct. And there's nothing and no one that deserves the honor more than God.
That's right.
One of the greatest ways that we honor God is through our worship. So we start to understand what worship is about. Why do we worship? Why do we see people do these things, clapping their hands, singing? It's about the honor of God. When I worship God, it's a way that I show honor. Isaiah 55:12 said, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. I want to show you this. Even nature was designed to honor and worship God. That's one of its functions. Even Palm Sunday, watch this, when religious leaders tried to silence the worship, Jesus said, Luke 19:40, I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Yeah. So nature responds to the presence or the absence of worship. I want you to think about that for a second. Nature responds, Jesus said, nature responds to the presence or the absence of worship. Think about that for a second. Nature is out of balance when there is not sufficient worship. When God's people don't worship. when the people of earth, period, don't worship. Things in nature are out of balance. I want you to think about things in nature that are wrong right now, right? Hurricanes, storms, it seems like nature is angry sometimes, right? Nature is out of balance when worship is not in balance. So when you see someone, right? Jesus said, look, if the people don't praise me, he's talking about Palm Sunday, if the people don't praise me, there's going to be a revolt of nature. Nature is going to start doing things, right? Nature is going to start acting out if there's an imbalance of worship, right? If these people keep quiet, the rocks are going to cry out, right? And I want you to think about that symbolically and figuratively, what that really means. The rocks cry out. Nature cries out, right? So when something's out of balance, even when Cain killed Abel, God said his blood is crying out. So nature, the ground was crying out to God that there was an imbalance. There's an imbalance when worship is not present. So when we see someone dancing, right? We see somebody singing, we see somebody clapping, it doesn't make sense to us. That doesn't mean it doesn't make sense. When you see somebody dancing, you see somebody praising, you see somebody worshiping, and it's a different way that you maybe understand, it doesn't mean that it doesn't make sense. It just maybe doesn't make sense to you yet, because maybe you haven't had that revelation yet, or maybe you don't understand their worship, or maybe you don't understand how grateful they are. Jesus said, look, and he gave this story. He said, which person is more thankful, the one that was forgiven of a big debt or the one that was forgiven of a small debt? Right. And they said, well, the one that was, I guess, forgiven of the big debt. And so sometimes we misunderstand someone's worship because they were forgiven much. So there's lots of gratitude. So worship is very present and robust in their life. Maybe sometimes we don't understand how grateful we should be. The people in the room that Jesus was talking to, he said, well, this person was forgiven a lot. This person was forgiven relatively a little. But the underlying concept is everyone has been forgiven something by God. God has blotted out sin for everyone. Nobody is without sin. Everybody's been forgiven. Everybody's been forgiven of something. So there should be gratitude from all of us. Therefore, there should be worship from all of us. And that's the way we honor God and what he did. We have to get a higher understanding of worship before we can go deeper in worship. I noticed this about worship. After leading worship for many years and leading worship for decades, I realized that we would get to a place in worship and everybody couldn't go any further until they had a deeper understanding of what it was. A deeper revelation of what it meant. More understanding means I can go deeper in worship. David is somebody that we look at a lot for worship. And he was a king of Israel. And kings issue decrees. A decree is basically something the king says that you have to do. Look at somebody and say, you have to do this. So, yes, David was writing Psalms, but these could also be whatever David was saying is also a decree to his people. So I want you to think about it from being within the context of ancient Israel. He made a decree he gave in Psalm 33:8. He said, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. Honor. Talking about worship. Talking about honor, right? Now, did David have the authority to command the whole world to revere God? Probably not. But David was saying, with all of my God-given authority, I'm going to lead people towards worship. I'm going to expect worship from the people that I lead. I'm going to decree worship as a way of life for everybody that's following my leadership. That's what David's saying, right? And then he gave a prophecy while in worship in Psalm 22:27. You know, sometimes you get in worship and God's speaking to you, and you're seeing little pictures of the future, or God's giving you little strategies, big strategies, right? And so God gives David this glimpse in Psalm 22, 27. He said, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. Futuristically, that hasn't happened yet, right? David is saying, futuristically, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. So David saw in the spirit while worshiping prophetically, this will be the end result. When all is said and done, worship is the end result. Many of us saw Avengers Endgame, right? And Thanos said, look, I am what? Inevitable. I am inevitable. I want to tell you, worship is inevitable. Worship is the end game. All will worship, all will honor God. This is the final outcome of the earth. The whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. And we have to check our own hearts sometimes. Do we sometimes excuse ourselves from worship? Do we sometimes excuse ourselves from honoring God when we should be honoring God? David not only did not excuse himself from worship, he demanded it from the people around him. Listen, sometimes I don't feel like worshiping. Sometimes we don't feel like worshiping, but we have to remember something. God deserves the worship. God deserves the honor regardless of how we feel. Worship is so important in heaven and on the earth, so we start to realize it's not about emotions. Sometimes we can look at somebody and see somebody dancing around. Yep, they might be excited, they might not be excited, but it's not about emotions. It's about having a proper response to the Creator of all things. So worship, it's not primarily about emotions. It's about having the proper response to the Creator of all things. Sometimes emotions will line up and we feel awesome. We feel like worshiping. We feel like dancing. We feel like singing. And sometimes the emotions don't line up. But we should still worship anyways. Look at somebody and say, we should worship anyways. Our worship is principle-based, not emotion-based, right? We make the right decision and the right emotions follow, right? We made a decision to worship and the right emotions follow. So when I walk into church or when I'm in my private devotion time, I've already decided, Psalm 34, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will consistently speak his praises. When I come to church, I'm already warming up my voice because I already know what time it is. When I show up, I'm already stretching out. Look, sometimes you got to stretch out for worship. When I hit sound check, I got to test out a couple of dance moves because I know what time it is. It's time to worship. I've already decided it's my responsibility to worship God. It's a responsibility that I have. Yes, sometimes it's fun. Sometimes I really enjoy it. But even above that, it's my responsibility to praise and worship. Even if the music isn't hitting for me, I will praise the Lord at all times. Even if something's wrong with the speaker, it's acting up, it's kind of crackling a little bit, I will bless the Lord at all times. Even if they're not playing my favorite song, I will bless the Lord at all times. Even if there's somebody sitting beside me that I don't like, I will bless the Lord at all times. Somebody's giving me a funny look in the middle of worship, I will bless the Lord at all times. Because I've already decided it's my responsibility. It's our responsibility. When I was a teenager, I thought if I was expressive in worship and there was somebody that I liked in the room, that they might think something of me. Little did I know that once I learned how to really worship, God brought me a worshiping wife. My worship of God brought my wife into my life. See, the devil wants to trick you out of your destiny. The devil wants to trick you out of your blessing. But I want to tell you this. Somebody needs to hear this. Worshiping God brings good things into your life. Worshiping God. And the devil will do everything he can to try to trick you out of worship. You're not going to look cool. You're going to turn somebody off. Somebody's going to laugh at you. Somebody's going to think something of you. But worshiping God will bring good things into your life. David understood that. David lived by that. Psalm 34:1, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak out his praises. There's two views of worship, right? That I want to show you in 2 Samuel 6. When David brought the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem, he danced and he praised God with everything that he had because he understood every success he had came from God. God was his supply. God was his Jehovah Jireh. God was his favor. God was his door opener. God was his promotion. So he comes in to Jerusalem dancing like a madman as they're bringing the Ark of the Covenant in. Now, when he gets back home, David's wife, Micah, told him he wasn't acting like a king. If you want to look at this story later on today, you can read it in 2 Samuel 6. So David's wife, Micah, said, "You're not acting like a king. Dancing and shouting isn't dignified." David said, "No, you're wrong. I'm acting exactly how a king should act."
Yeah.
And he said, "Besides that, I'll get even more undignified than this if I need to." David's response was, "This is what a king should look like, because God chose me over your father Saul, who had forgotten how to worship." This is what a king does. And God chose me over your father who forgot how to worship and honor God. When Saul started off, Saul knew how to honor God. When Saul started off, Saul knew how to worship God. But he forgot how to worship and he lost his position. Listen to me, men. Kings know how to worship. Kings know how to worship. Real kings know how to worship. David shows us how a real king worships. When Jesus was born, three more kings show up and they worshiped. Real kings know how to worship. You want to be a true king? Learn how to worship. Worship is powerful. In the worship is promotion. In the worship is connection to God. And when we worship, we honor God for what he has done in our lives. Saul forgot how to worship, and then he forgot how to lead. It was only David's worship, playing the harp before Saul, that brought relief in the middle of Saul's spiritual torment. Scripture tells us Micah never had children after she criticized David's worship. Be careful how you handle worship. Be careful how you handle someone else's worship. Be careful how you handle your own worship. Worship is sacred to God. God said, "I'm not going to allow this to reproduce."
That's the truth. That is the truth.
Micah never had children after she criticized David's worship. God said, "I'm not going to reproduce that, but David, I will reproduce. There will always be an heir of yours sitting on the throne of Israel."
Wow.
He said, That I will bless. That I will reproduce. That I will increase. That I will give promotion to. Worship. Worshiping and honoring God matters more than looking dignified. And God will test you. Will you worship when you bring a guest to church? Will you worship when that person you're trying to impress is around you? Will you worship if your crush is in the room?
What now?
Well, you worship if your crush is in the room.
God will test you. He tested me so many times. But let me tell you something. Worship is worth it. Worship is worth it. When you honor God with your worship, He gives you peace. He gives you strength. He gives you healing. He gives you rest. He gives you wisdom. He gives you strategy. He gives you victory. He brings the right people into your life. The enemy wants to deceive you, trick you out of worshiping God fully. But God wants you to understand that when we worship Him, it benefits us more than we can possibly imagine. When we worship, a balance comes into our lives. When we worship, it honors Him. Worship is not an inconvenience. Worship is a blessing. In Joshua 6, the walls fell down because they worshiped. In Acts 16, chains fell off because of worship. In Revelation 7, tears are wiped away because of worship. Worship is all throughout the Word of God. Worship is all throughout our history with God. Worship is how we honor God. The why behind the worship is honor. We worship Him because He's worthy, not because of how we feel in the moment. Worship is saying, God, thank you for all you've done. Worship is saying, God, thank you for all you've done. Would you stand with me today? I want to end a little bit differently. There's this song, I want us to sing it together, and there's something about coming together and worshiping. There's times that we worship and we're all alone just by ourselves, just God and us. And then there's also other times that are very powerful that we come together and we worship. The Bible says where two or more gathered, there I am in the midst of them. That doesn't just mean a prayer or a Bible study. Also means when we come together and we worship. A threefold cord is not easily broken. I want to tell you, when the praise goes up, blessings are going to come into your life. When worship is established, the Bible says God will rest. God will be enthroned on the praises of His people. That means when you worship, God is coming near you. That's why it feels different when we worship. Feels different when we worship because God's presence becomes more available, becomes more tangible to us. Can we sing this? And the angels cry. Oh, we're just going to take a moment to practice what they do in heaven. Holy, you are lifted high, holy, holy forever. Say, hear your people sing, holy, to the King of kings, holy, you will always be. We worship Him to honor Him today. We worship Him to honor Him today. See, sin, holy, holy, you're holy, God. You are lifted high, holy, holy, holy forever. God, I just thank you, Lord, as we're here, we're lifting our hands, we're worshiping, we're honoring you. God, I pray that you would open our eyes and open our hearts to see a bigger picture of what worship is. Lord, open up our perspective to understand more of what worship is and how we honor you through that. So many times we're doing things out of routine. We're doing things because we've done them before. We've seen other people do them before. But God, you want us to worship you in spirit and in truth. You want us to worship you because we have honor for you. So God, I thank you, Lord. Teach us how to do that. Teach us how to walk with you. Teach us how to honor you with our lives, God. Teach us how to practice the posture of heaven. We want to practice the posture of heaven because it empowers us to do what we need to do on the earth. I thank you for it. Sing one more time. Say holy. Holy. Yeah. To creation. Holy. You are lifted high. Holy forever. Your people sing. Holy to the King of Kings. Holy. Yes, you will always be. So I'll leave you with this thought, and I want to challenge you. Go deeper in worship. Sometimes we get into routines. I want to challenge you. Break whatever routine that you have. Go beyond what you've done before and see if God doesn't rest on your praise. See if God doesn't rest on your worship when you truly say, God, I want to honor you. In a new way. I want to honor you in a greater way. I want to magnify you. David said, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. He was saying, look, what I do with honor, what I'm doing with worship, I'm making God larger in my life. So I challenge you with that today. Look at a couple of people and say, I'm ready to go deeper in worship. You may be seated. So I want to encourage you, take the next step. Challenge yourself in worship. If you're not a part of a hope group here or you're not a part of a serving team, I just want to encourage you. If you've been around and you're wondering, what's the next step for me? I want to give you a couple of different ideas. If you're wondering what the next step is, you can jump into a hope group. We have some great hope groups where we celebrate community. We study the Word of God together. We encourage one another and pray with one another. You can find those on the Hope United app. You can find those on the website. You can find that by asking one of the team members here today. Or if you say, man, I would love to serve. I'd love to be a part of what's going on here at Hope. I encourage you today, you can find opportunities on the website, on the Hope United app, or by asking one of our team members today. Amen? I'll leave you with this thought. If God is for you, who can be against you? And if Jesus is in your corner, you will be undefeated. God bless you. Have an awesome day. Thanks again for listening. If you like this podcast, remember to share and subscribe. For more information or to connect with us, go to hopeunited.church. And remember, if God is with you, you will be undefeated.